Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time here on a Tuesday afternoon, September 11th, 2018, a day in which we remember what happened 17 years ago. I'll never forget that moment. I'll share my thoughts as we never forget the lives that were lost on this day 17 years ago. And I'll share a story or two about that day. Until we do, I want to say welcome to the show. We have a lot to get to. And Detroit Lions fans, my goodness. Oh, did that hurt or what to watch last night on national TV? Monday Night Football, under the lights, Ford Field, and the Detroit Lions completely embarrass themselves. That was really tough to watch. All right, I have some thoughts on that game, and I'll tell you why I believe it is the most embarrassing performance I have seen since I have been on this earth watching the Honolulu Blue, born and raised in Detroit. And now you guys see why I'm a why I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, right? I mean, it's just impossible to root for that team. I mean, they just break your hearts every single year. And basically mailed it in last night. A 48-17 drubbing by rookie quarterback Sam Darnold and the New York Jets. Oh, boy, that was bad. That was really, really bad. So we'll talk about Lions and Jets. Also, Mark D'Antonio did speak to reporters this morning around 11:30 at Spartan Stadium, addressing what happened on Saturday night, well, I should say Sunday morning, against Arizona State, the Sun Devils, Herm Edwards, stunning the Spartans in the college football world. The Spartans were favorite in that game. Not by a lot, but still favorite nonetheless, expected to win. Mark D'Antonio has watched the film, and he has a few takeaways. And there's also some breaking news concerning a pretty big injury for the Spartans. I'll bring that news to you, and you'll get to hear roughly around 10 minutes of this morning's press conference from Coach D. And as promised, I will get to this Serena Williams and U.S. Open controversy as Serena fell to Naomi Osaka, the Japanese Haitian phenom, who I believe is going to really take the, if she hasn't already done so, she started to take the tennis world by storm already. I mean, beating the greatest female tennis player of all time. But of course, there was controversy that occurred in the second set of that match out in New York City on Saturday. So I kind of previewed that conversation to close out Monday's current sports. I will get to that today, I promise. All right. So, but I want to hear your thoughts on the Detroit Lions. I mean, there were many fans who just said, skip this. I'm done. I'm out of here. And booked it around the third quarter. You could see fans walking up towards the exits. Just embarrassing. Actually, on SportsCenter, which aired after the LA Rams and Oakland Raiders game, Scott Van Pelt made that the best thing he saw of the day. Detroit Lions fans. I actually saw a little girl. They showed a little girl on the broadcast who was rocking a Honolulu Blue t-shirt, but she held up a New York Jets sign in the second half saying, go Jets. It was that bad. It was that bad. Embarrassing, to say the least. All right? So I want to hear your thoughts on the Detroit Lions and New York Jets loss. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Are we overreacting for game one? Do you think the Lions can put the wheels back on the track? What's up with Matthew Stafford? What's up with that offensive line? Just a bad game one for the Lions, all right? So I want to hear your thoughts. You can also weigh in on social media at facebook.com/WKAR News. We have the live stream running there. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your quick hit headliners. Lions Jets, to say things didn't go well for the Detroit Lions in their week one home game last night against the New York Jets on national TV on Monday Night Football, that will be a huge understatement. Although rookie quarterback Sam Darnold had a pick six on his first throw of the game to give the home team an early lead, the Jets destroyed the Lions 48-17 and picked apart their offense piece by piece. In turn, Detroit Lions quarterback Matt Stafford was the only one who looked like a frazzled rookie terrified in his first big league game, didn't he? Not the leader who inked a monster contract last year. He threw for four interceptions, one of which was also a pick six, and went 27 for 46, 286 yards, one touchdown. His total QBR was 8.8. Thank you, Matt Stafford, seeing as though I had you starting in two of my fantasy football leagues last night. You cost me a loss. But that's neither here nor there, right? It was almost like the Jets defense knew the plays before the snaps. Well, get this. It looks like they did. According to linebacker Darren Lee, who returned Stafford's third quarter pick for 36 yards to the house for a touchdown, he said after the game, quote, "We were calling out their plays as Stafford was getting up to the line. We knew his signals. We knew everything. It just seemed like we were in his head as a defense." Yeah, that's what Lee said. Lee also had three of the Jets' 12 pass breakups last night. More on your beloved Lions in just a moment. The second slate of the Monday Night Football Week 1 doubleheader was the Oakland Raiders and the L.A. Rams out in Oakland. Welcome to the league, new coaches. Yeah, it wasn't too much of a warm welcome, as every coach making their NFL debut was handed an L this past week. The final seconds of that Rams win over the Raiders, it was a 33-13 win for L.A. All seven new head coaches now begin their tenures with an 0-1 record. Of course, Raiders' new head coach, John Gruden, joined Lions coach Matt Patricia on the wrong side of a lopsided Monday night loss. Colts coach Frank Reich, Giants coach Pat Shurmur, Titans coach Mike Vrabel, Cardinals coach Steve Wilks, and Bears coach Matt Nagy oversaw losses on Sunday afternoon. None of the new coaches are facing each other in week two, so the whole group could wind up as losers again on the second time on the field come this weekend. We'll see. Highly unlikely, though. I think one of those coaches will get a win. I wouldn't put my money on the Detroit Lions, though, I'll tell you that. All right, it was a very emotional return for former Detroit Tigers ace Justin Verlander, as it was his first time, I should say, coming back to Comerica Park donning a different jersey. As they were getting ready to start the game, the Tigers played a JV tribute on the video big screen. The former Detroit Tigers star couldn't help but look at the screen to reminisce the good times he had in Detroit. He cracked a smile, actually. That was really cool. In his return, he pitched seven innings, struck out 10 batters, and only gave up two runs as the Houston Astros defeated the Tigers 3-2. The Tigers are now a lowly 59-85 on the year. The Michigan State football team. Back-to-back-to-back night games? Yeah. We all know the Spartans are going into a bye week this upcoming Saturday, but next Saturday will be another night game. MSU and Indiana will begin their Big Ten schedules under the lights September 22nd in Indiana. Kickoff slated for 7:30 p.m. And the game will be televised on the Big Ten Network. MSU will now be playing three straight, I don't know if that's ever happened before, three straight night games to open the season. MSU defeated Indiana last year in East Lansing, 17-9. The Spartans lost 24-21 in overtime at Bloomington in 2016. Their first loss to the Hoosiers since 2006 at Memorial Stadium. Great for fans. Love night games, right? There's a certain... It's just really special when you have a night game, right? You're under the lights. It just has a different feel. Great for fans. Feel bad, though, for those who are working that game on the road. I actually saw Graham Couch of the Atlantic State Journal tweet out, "Grr!" as that kickoff time was announced. It's always a late night for reporters, right, when you're talking about night games. But that's great for the fans. Back-to-back-to-back night games for Mark D'Antonio's squad. All right, the upcoming football game between NC State and West Virginia, get this, might have to be put on hold. Hurricane Florence, this has been well-documented in the news, a Category 4 hurricane and winds up to 150 miles per hour. I'm actually, thoughts and prayers go out to our very own Connor Mathis, who is from West Virginia. Got to check on Connor because I know his family. Hopefully they're evacuating. But a Category 4 hurricane, winds up to 150 miles per hour, threatening to slam the middle eastern coast of the United States around Friday morning. People have already begun evacuating, and any game nearby will be canceled for, again, obvious safety reasons. But again, it's been announced that the upcoming football game between NC State and West Virginia, highly likely that that game is not going to happen. All right, back to Michigan State athletics news. Another two-goal performance from senior forward DeJuan Jones, the local kid from East Lansing, led number 3 Michigan State men's soccer past in-state rival Oakland 4-2 at DeMartin Stadium. With the win, the Spartans remain unbeaten, a record of 5-0-1. Oakland falls to 3-2-1 this year. The MSU offense has been on fire as of late, with 15 goals in its last 4 games. All right, the MSU men's golf team as well took 8th place at the season-opening Gopher Invitational at the Windsong Farm Golf Club in Minnesota. Spartans shot an 8-over par 292 in yesterday's final at the par 71, 7,368-yard course, and finished the tournament 16-over par 868. 4 shots out of the top 5. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, we're taking your calls and getting your thoughts on last night's embarrassing Detroit Lions loss on Monday Night Football primetime television, nationally televised matchup, as the Lions were just mollywopped by the New York Jets. How does this make you feel about the season moving forward? And where would you rank, curious, where would you rank this Detroit Lions loss when it comes to the Lions' most embarrassing losses of all time? There are many to choose from. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Again, go to facebook.com/WKARnews and comment below the live stream. And you can tweet us at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle. Or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Again, later on this hour, we will be playing at least about roughly 10 minutes of the Mark D'Antonio press conference, as Mark D'Antonio has watched the film from the Arizona State loss, and some breaking news concerning a pretty key component to this Spartan football team who was injured on Saturday. Not great news there. We'll bring that news to you, and we'll play that press conference later on this hour. And, of course, I will have thoughts on this whole Serena Williams and U.S. Open controversy. But we start with your beloved Lions.
When looked downfield, the throw back across the field, and it's intercepted. And it's going to be a pick six for Quandre Diggs on the very first play of Sam Darnold's debut.
I didn't want to torture you guys. As I was putting together that introduction today, I, of course, had the obvious thought of just playing every highlight, every low light, I should say, from last night's New York Jets and Detroit Lions game, I should say. But I didn't want to disappoint you fans out there because, again, you've seen the highlights. You lived the highlights last night. And you're feeling already crappy. So why just pile on and have you relive the countless down moments from last night's Detroit Lions season opening loss to the New York Jets on Monday Night Football. Not a great way to open the season. Just a complete embarrassment. Embarrassing performance from the Detroit Lions, making the franchise look bad, making the city of Detroit look bad. I mean, the visuals of fans getting up and saying, I am completely done with this. I'm going to my car, going home, and going to bed. I'm sleeping this one off. I saw some local reports from some of the TV stations down in Detroit as they were getting sound from fans after the game, and just so many of them looked depressed. There were a few that said, hey, it's only game one. Keep hope alive. I'm ride or die with my Honolulu Blue. But many of them said, yeah, this one really hurt. Really hurt. You know, and we talk a lot here on Current Sports about overreacting, right? When it comes to game ones, when it comes to season opening games or any game that happens at the preliminary stages of any season. But it's how you win or lose. How you win or lose. That formulates how you feel about your team as the year moves along. And I don't know if there is anyone out there, and if you think otherwise, you're delusional. I don't know how there's anyone out there that looked at that 48-17 loss. And as the dust settled, or I should say, whenever you turned off that game, I turned it off in the third quarter and said, I can't stand this anymore. I'm going to play some video games. That's what I did last night. I said, I cannot watch this any longer. I'm done. It was like the middle of the third quarter. I said, yep, I throw in the towel. Let me rock out on some Xbox. That's what I did last night. I just couldn't stand it. I felt like my eyes were bleeding watching that game. Because even though I'm not a diehard Detroit Lions fan, you guys know, and this is why I am a Dallas Cowboys fan. You know, I grew up west side of Detroit, born and raised, all right? But the Lions, this franchise, breaks your heart so often that many in the D have that second team that they have to root for as the year rolls along, because how can you root for a Detroit Lions squad that is just the mere essence of mediocrity? How can you continuously root for that team? So my dad, my pops, again, born and raised in Detroit, tried rooting for the Lions, but he got to a point in the 90s where he was just like, skip this. I'm rolling with the Cowboys. I love the Cowboys. And naturally, me growing up with my pops, I became a Dallas Cowboys fan. 48-17, though. And it all looked well, right? I played you the really only highlight of that game last night. Sure, the Lions went on to score another touchdown with, you know, I believe it was Golden Tate, but that was when the game was out of hand. There was no hope that the Lions were going to come back in that game. Quandre Diggs picking off Sam Darnold, his first play, let alone throw of his young career, and all looked great. All looked great. I mean, the fans went nuts. I got out my seat and said, wow, first throw of your young career, and it's a pick six? By the way, Brett Favre also did that, and that's something that Sam Darnold acknowledged was said to him on the sideline. He just kind of shook it off and said, all right, how much worse can this get? Let me just go out there and play football. But it all looked well in like the first 10 seconds of the game. And then it just went all downhill from there. Matt Patricia could not have had a worse debut, head coaching debut, with the Detroit Lions. Saw many of you out there tweeting, of course, throughout that game. And I saw this meme floating around with the face of Jim Caldwell, former coach of the Detroit Lions. He was let go and replaced by Patricia, of course. And a meme floating out there with, I believe, the words, "Yeah, I was never this bad." And it's so true. So true. At least Jim Caldwell was competitive. He never had a 48-17 loss on national television on Monday Night Football. That didn't happen under Jim Caldwell. At least there was some hope. Now, I may eat my words as the year rolls along. Lions taking on the San Francisco 49ers in game two. Who knows? They could turn this bus around. But how can anyone think that after watching what happened last night? I hope I eat my words, because that was really bad last night. And, you know, you look at the numbers of this game. Dare we, right? The offensive line still a problem for the Lions. Cannot open holes. Could not protect Matthew Stafford. And I'm not letting Stafford off the hook here, even though he did have pressure on him. Matthew Stafford played bad. Couldn't read the defense, just lofted up balls carelessly. It was bad. LeGarrette Blount, 4 carries for -3 yards. -3 yards before he went down with a pretty nasty leg injury. Oh, Kerryon Johnson, you ask. He averaged just 3.4 yards per attempt. The Lions had one good drive in the first 3 quarters of the game. The rest of the game was complete garbage. Complete, utter garbage. I don't know how else I can describe this game. And again, I asked you guys to call in and rank where this Detroit Lions loss places on your garbage meter. It's number one for me. I don't know if I'm just being overreactionary here, but I don't care. 48-17, national television against a rookie quarterback, and you're playing not world beaters here. You are playing the New York Jets, who haven't been good since with the days of Broadway Joe. And you mail in that kind of performance, and it got to a point where it just looked like the Lions just gave up. They just said, "Woe is me, we're done, we're not even going to try." Just horrible, horrible stuff last night. I don't know how you can forgive that kind of performance. One good drive is what I counted. When I was taking my notes last night of that game, which I kind of pondered and said, I just light these things on fire and not even bring up this stuff. I'll bring up a few points. I do this every game, and if I'm watching it at home, I take notes. And I counted one good drive. First 3 quarters of the game before I said, "Oh, that's it. Where's my Xbox controller? I'm done. Throwing the towel." So, you know, Matthew Stafford, he threw 4 interceptions. 4 INTs. Sam Darnold, the rook, just 1 pick. That first throw of his young NFL career. And he played great from there on out. The Jets' defense and special teams outscored the Lions' offense. The Lions were down 31 points at the end of the third quarter. This was pathetic. And that kind of performance is inexcusable. And, you know, it's why, and again, Jim Caldwell never lost like this. Jim Caldwell was fired and let go. And I just couldn't help but think last night, did the Lions organization overreact when letting go of Jim Caldwell? Because there was like, watching that game, there was no, you got no feeling that Matt Patricia had at least one hand on the steering wheel. He looked clueless. Absolutely clueless. The players looked uninspired. It was, just to read a few of the tweets that I noted last night. This comes from @Phantom_LionX. Quote, not Patricia's fault at all. The problem was mostly on offense tonight. Blame Jim Bob Cooter. @Spencer_King24. Everyone who went to the Lions game should get their money back. @LL A Morandier. That's a weird Twitter name. But he says, quote, there is so much wrong on so many levels right now for the Lions. Where to even begin? Very disheartening. Mind is racing. And I'm trying to sleep. Quote, off the top of my head, that's one of the three most humiliating and embarrassing losses that I can remember. That comes from Barb Randy McCoskey. This comes from Brian @BrianManzulo. Quote, two honest thoughts about this Lions game. One, Matt Patricia is taking a ton of heat and deservingly so, but don't let the players off the hook. They play like garbage and look like they quit by the end. Two, want real change? Stop going to these games. Stop paying for this. That was something I read a lot last night. Actually, my pastor in Detroit, Pastor Glass, the church I grew up in, he lost his cool on my Facebook status last night when I said the Detroit Lions are an embarrassment and sent a comment to me saying, RL, they have been. We have to stop paying for this mess. Stop supporting the Detroit Lions. Stop wasting your money year after year after year believing that this team is finally going to figure it out and put the wheels on the track. It's not going to happen. Those are the kind of comments and tweets that were made public by you Detroit Lions fans last night. @BriansLionsBlog. Quote, can't imagine what folks within Lions organization are thinking right now. Did they see this coming or are they surprised? This team is trash and Patricia's debut was one of the worst ever for a head coach. And Matthew Stafford, one of the highest paid quarterbacks in football, has not won a playoff game. All this talk about Matty Staff being a top 10 quarterback. Let's dead that conversation, at least for right now, because he did not look anything close to that last night at Ford Field. Granted, that offensive line is still like watching a bull and a matador. Just ole, right? It's just so bad. Still so bad today. So it's 50-50 here. Matthew Stafford made some really bad decisions with the football, and his offensive line didn't give him any time. It's the same problem showing up time after time after time. This is horrible. And the reason why I say it's the worst Lions loss I've ever seen on my 27 going on 28 years here on planet Earth is because this team had some pretty good expectation and has, depending on who you talk to, has still some pretty high expectation of at least making the playoffs. You get a coach who comes from a winning organization, coming from the coaching tree of Bill Belichick. Sky's the limit, right? Matthew Stafford, you're paying him all this money. He's a great quarterback. He's led this team, and he may, looking at the numbers, may go down as the greatest Detroit Lions quarterback to ever do it. You got some great pieces in the wide receiver core. Defense looks solid. All that went out the window last night. High expectations, and you mail in that kind of performance. Disappointing, to say the least. I don't know how Matt Patricia is going to deal with this. I don't know where his mindset is now. Because, again, you have that kind of a debut
that kind of a debut, I don't know where you start in trying to plug the holes in this boat. I don't know where you start. I really don't. I don't know how you inspire your team after a performance like that. I don't know where you begin. I would hate to be Matt Patricia today trying to figure this out. And when it comes to the acclaimed Bill Belichick coaching tree, right? I mean, Bill Belichick, he'll go down as one of the greatest NFL coaches of all time. He's one of the greatest football minds of all time, without a doubt. But you look at his coaching tree. Out of the seven names, Al Groh, Bill O'Brien, Nick Saban, Eric Mangini, Josh McDaniels, Romeo Crennel, and now Matt Patricia, only Al Groh has a winning record at 9-7. Though O'Brien, in 4-plus seasons with the Houston Texans, has finished 9-7 three times and twice made the playoffs. So all this hype about Matt coming from the New England Patriots, and he's going to be the savior for this team. He comes from a Super Bowl winning caliber coaching tree of Bill Belichick. It didn't look anything like what we expected it to look like last night. And this is the New York Jets. And you play in a division in the NFL with teams like the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. You think what we saw last night, that product is going to beat the Green Bay Packers? The Minnesota Vikings, who are slated to be Super Bowl contenders this year, also are sitting in the NFC North. You think what we saw last night is going to compete with the Minnesota Vikings? Heck, even the Chicago Bears, who actually held a pretty sizable lead over Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football. You think that product is going to beat any of those three teams? Come on, man. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call in. Want to hear your thoughts. If you want to vent, we'll treat this like a therapy hour. Sometimes just talking through it does good for the soul, Lions fans. Sometimes you just got to get it off your chest. Call in. I know you're angry. Call in. Vent to us. I'll be your therapist for the hour, all right? Dr. Martin is in the house. Call in. I'll listen to you. Make sure it's FCC compliant, all right? I'll say that as well. comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKARnews. Also tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR. Is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. I know we got Austin from KZoo on. That's my guy. I know he's going to have some great, insightful thoughts on the other side of our first break. I want to hit our first break right now. Call in. We'll read a few of your comments as well. And we'll get to Mark D'Antonio's press conference from this morning as the Spartans are licking their wounds from that loss to Arizona State on Saturday. That and more. You are listening to the Therapy Hour here on WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this September 11th, 2018. 17 years ago, this country was reeling due to the attacks on the World Trade Centers out in New York City. I'll never forget where I was. I was about 13 years old, and in my English class in sixth grade, right, sixth grade is about 13 years old, right? I believe I was like 12, 13 years old. And I was in Miss Hettner's English class. And I got a call because students had been called to the office, the main office of the school all day, going home, parents picking them up. And we didn't know what was going on. And, it was around like 12:30, sixth hour. English class with Miss Hettner, and my my grandparents came up to the school, came up to the middle school, and O.W. Best Middle School in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, and took home my sister and I, and we got home, and on the drive, I'll never forget the ride to my grandmother's, my grandparents' house. Well, on the drive there, they tried their best to explain what was happening, and we got home, and it wasn't until my sister and I watched the news that it really began to hit us, and it slowly but surely sank in that we, as a country, were being attacked by those that hate us. Never will forget that day. Many of you will never forget that day, and we can't forget that day. I got a chance to visit New York City 2 years ago and visit Ground Zero and the memorial there, and you talk about emotional, incredibly emotional, but we will never forget that day in the lives that were lost and the families impacted by those losses. Also, shout out to Alec Rio and Jack Kerwin behind the glass. They've been playing Mac Miller's instrumentals in and out of the breaks today. Mac Miller, 26 years old. Famed hip-hop artist. I was just becoming a new fan of his, too. I was listening to his new album, Swimming, weeks up until his death last week, what is being reported as an overdose. Gone too soon. Life is too short, right? Rest in peace, Mac Miller. All right, I have been, discussing the Detroit Lions' loss to the New York Jets last night on Monday Night Football. I'm asking you all to weigh in. We have many comments coming on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, and tweet us at Al Martin WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Let's go to line one right now. One of my favorite guys who calls into the show. We go back like four flats on the Cadillac. At Michigan State University, we went to school together. My man Austin from Kalamazoo is on. Austin, what's up, my friend?
What's up, Al? How you doing, man?
Always good hearing your voice, and congratulations. He is a newly married man, ladies and gents.
Appreciate it.
I saw that on Facebook. Congratulations to you and Dominique, brother.
Thank you, man. It's a good life. I'm loving it so far.
For sure. What's up, man? Talk to me.
So, first off, I want to apologize to you. I was texting you and I said Matt Stafford needs to get let go. That was an overreaction, and I want to apologize and admit publicly that I overreacted.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because, you know, it's a two-fold conversation here. I mean, that offensive line didn't protect Matthew Stafford, and he didn't play great at all last night, though, Austin. I'm not letting him off the hook. I'm just saying, let's look at the big picture here. I went back and looked at the film this morning and said, yeah, it was impossible for Matthew Stafford to elude a lot of that pressure.
Right, exactly. And a couple things, man. One of the things that really bothered me was Matt Patricia's demeanor during that game. He never showed himself as a leader, in my opinion. And it made me wonder if he's overrated, that he was protected by the Bill Belichick system and if he's equipped to be a head coach right now.
Mm.
There were a lot of times when Caldwell was there, because he had a quiet demeanor about him, but you could tell that he was the leader. He was that presence. Matt Patricia just felt like a coordinator or an athletic trainer on the sideline. It's like, where's the head coach in this situation? And another thing is a lot of people complain about Le'Veon Bell holding out and all this other kind of stuff, but you see examples like this. Matt Stafford, one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, and he performs like this, but we get upset at these guys for holding out, man. And it's unfair to those type of players who are putting in a blood, sweat, and tears producing every night. And my last point, I want to send this out to Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick, as you kneel in solidarity for the unfair treatment of minorities in America, can you kneel for Lions fans as well? Because it's unfair how we're getting treated. So, Colin Kaepernick and Nike, keep us in your hearts as you guys kneel in solidarity for the people that are treated horribly in this country, including Lions fans.
Austin, one of your best calls. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you.
All right, talk to you later, Al.
Austin bringing the heat. I love it. Again, you can call in just like my man Austin from KZU just did, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to play Mark D'Antonio's press conference in just a moment, but before I do, I know they have been itching behind the glass to probably talk about this Detroit Lions topic. I now invite to the conversation, to vent a little bit, our two fantastic PAs, Alec Rio and Jack Kerwin. We'll start with Jack. Jack, thoughts on that horrible performance from the Lions last night?
Well, I actually have not been itching to talk about this because I just have this mindset that maybe if I don't talk about it, it'll go away.
Mm.
But in all seriousness, that was the worst game I've probably seen in my lifetime from the Lions, just because I was chatting with Alec a minute ago. Just because you have to kind of look at the context where this isn't the team from 10 years ago where people expect the Detroit Lions to go 2-14. You know, I don't think anyone expected them to be great, but I mean, losing by 31 points at home to the lowly New York Jets and a rookie quarterback making his first start is just unacceptable.
Agreed.
You got a $155 million quarterback throwing four interceptions, 10 points a total offense because their first play of the game was the pick six by Quandre Diggs. So the offense scored 10 points. It was absolutely unacceptable. Worst game I've probably ever seen from the Detroit Lions.
I agree. It's numero uno for me because of what you just stated, Jack. The expectations are a bit different now. And it's crazy because, I mean, we were having the conversation after the Detroit Pistons season ended that the Lions were really Detroit professional sports, the only hope in professional sports here in Detroit, because the Wings are still rebuilding. The Pistons, they don't have the pieces to really legitimately compete for a championship. The Tigers are in rebuild mode. The Lions, dare I say it, are the only hope. And you open the season like that. Alec Rio, your thoughts?
I'm actually kind of glad I was working and I didn't get to catch this action live because I saw the highlights and I just could not believe that this team was like considered to make the wild card. Like I just saw the O-line was just getting absolutely torched. Matt Stafford had absolutely no time to throw the ball. And when he did, it was just because he was getting rushed and he needed to throw away the ball, which is why he got four interceptions. The Jets defense was just all over us. And quite frankly, that's honestly one of the worst performances I've ever seen. And honestly, it scares me now that Matt Patricia's our coach. It kind of scares me, to be honest.
Yeah, it is a little scary. You don't feel good looking at that performance last night in any way, shape, or form. You can't feel good. Ben on our Facebook page says, all around, last night's game was a travesty. Also, Ant says, I said it last night, I'll say it again. Until the Fords sell this team, the franchise will always be cursed. Just two comments on our Facebook page. Many comments there, but I don't have time to get to it right now because we do have, this is some really disturbing news. I actually got this notification from Karell Vega, who walked in during that first break. This is being reported from ABC 13 On Your Side. A woman says in a recently filed lawsuit that Larry Nassar drugged and raped her during a medical appointment in 1992 when she was a Michigan State University field hockey player. Erica Davis told her coach what happened, including that the assault was videotaped, according to the lawsuit, which was filed in federal court in Grand Rapids and includes her name. Her coach, Martha Ludwig, confronted Nassar about what happened and demanded and received a copy of the recording, according to the lawsuit. George Perlis, who resigned as athletic director in 1992 and is a current MSU trustee, later intervened, and the complaint was dropped, according to the lawsuit. Perlis forced Ludwig to return the video, resign, and sign a non-disclosure agreement, according to the lawsuit. Davis says in the lawsuit that she became pregnant, that Nassar is the only person who could have been the father, and that she later had a miscarriage. MSU spokeswoman Emily Garrett released a statement on the lawsuit saying, quote, we are deeply sorry for the abuses Larry Nassar has committed and for the trauma experienced by all sexual assault survivors. Sexual abuse, assault, and relationship violence are not tolerated in our campus community. While the protocols and procedures mentioned in this lawsuit do not reflect how sexual assault claims are handled at MSU, we are taking the allegations very seriously and looking into the situation. In October of 1992, Davis and two friends went to MSU police to file a report, according to the lawsuit. Quote, again, this is what her attorneys wrote in the lawsuit. Quote, the police told them that since she was an athlete, she had to report it to the athletic department. The detective explicitly told them that he was powerless to investigate anything that takes place to the athletic department and to go to the athletic department. Plaintiff Erica explained that the athletic department already dismissed it, and the sergeant responded that George Perlis is a powerful man and she should just drop it. Let that digest. Again, that's according to ABC 13 reporting that Larry Nassar drugged and raped an MSU athlete in 1992 and George Perlis intervened. I'm going to save my thoughts on that for right now. Let's go to Michigan State football. The press conference from Mark D'Antonio, as Mark D'Antonio puts in perspective what happened in the loss on Saturday against Arizona State.
Hey, good morning, guys. Basically, just post-ASU Arizona State stuff, I thought, first of all, I thought we handled the trip very well. Handled the time change, handled the weather. Didn't have any problems with that. I thought we played with a lot of energy. Obviously, we expected a tough game, expected a tight game, and got one, really, as we went through it. And, I talked a little bit about the different situations, that we got to get better at, but things of that nature, on Saturday night. But obviously not scoring in the goal line area, the red zone. Third down hurt us a little bit. Thought we played pretty well on defense, didn't have a touchdown scored against us throughout three quarters of the game, and then we gave up one late. But, let a football team hang around. Instead of being 20-3 or something like that, it's 13-3. Inevitably somebody's going to make a play. I think a little bit of that happened. I need to play better in certain situations. I think our football team right now is, it's a tough deal. Regathered ourselves on the way home. Very proud of our team and how they handle things. Leadership is intact. Met yesterday, reviewed the film, etc. But he's good. Got to stay resilient. And I think, when you have these type of situations, and we've been in them before, I think you go in one direction. Either people get pulled apart or people get brought together. And it's my feeling that things like this forges, if you're working together, things like this forge unity. It forges solidarity, perseverance. And probably the most important thing, it forges action, which we need to take action. So we'll sit a week. Coaches will be out recruiting this week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll work today and Thursday and probably Friday or maybe Saturday, depending on which. And then get back at it next week, play IU game next Saturday, week from Saturday at 7:30 at night. So we'll look forward to that challenge as well. So I'll just take some questions and we'll probably go from there. Thanks.
Coach, I asked you a week ago about protections, picking on blitzes, blocking schemes, that sort of thing, and it seemed like there were a lot of problems, issues, communication, assignments, et cetera, against Arizona State. What did you notice? What needs to change between now and when you take the field against Indiana a week from Saturday?
Well, we got pressure. I think we got pressure. We only were sacked twice, and that was at the end of the game. I think in both cases scenario, we could have avoided the sack. The ball could have been thrown. So that's number one. But we did get pressure throughout the entire game. And they bring, as I said last on Saturday night, they bring a lot of different pressures from different places. Everybody does. They have a number of people up there. They're giving up some different things in coverage when they do that. But they're dropping defense, especially Arizona State, they're dropping defensive linemen out of there. So they're creating a situation where a defensive lineman may rush, but then he doesn't and he drops, and then they break other linebackers. And, those are tough scenarios. And, what has to happen is we have to pick those up. We have pass protections in place. We need to be more firm at the point of protection. We can't get overextended. When you have games like this, you can point to so many little different things, whether it's a spot, a missed spot, by where the ball was placed after a play, or whether it was a missed leverage, whether it's if we're ahead 6-0 and it's 3rd and 20 and the quarterback scrambles for 15 instead of 6, that's the difference in a 49-yard field goal and a punt. And, so it's things like that you go back and look at and it frustrates you. Obviously 3rd and 8 at the end of the game where they're in a position to go down and and possibly score. Third and eight, we have an uncovered guy going to the flat. They pick us a little bit. We have a coverage blow, and then on top of that, you know, we have another situation where safety turns on number one, and you know, which is, you know, he's not supposed to do that. But it's the inches. So it's the little things that you look at that actually culminate to being very big things in a tight game, and this game got tight. There's no other way to say it. It just got tight. So obviously, if we don't want it to be like that. You know, you want to get out in front 21, 24. You got 28 points of opportunities in the red zone. You come away with 13. You know, so that is frustrating. But there are reasons behind that. Some of them are physical. Some of them are mental. Some of them are coaching errors. So the main thing that I want to make sure is that people understand, our people, the people in the tent, understand that it is that this is all of our issues. It's not one particular group. And again, you know, you got quarterback decisions, you got offensive line play, you have running backs pass protecting. I know on the last one that he was sacked that caused the fumble, the running back missed the blitzing linebacker, and that was the issue that forced the pressure. So it's not always the offensive line. Or somebody may be covered down the field and you've got to hold the football. So it's not always the quarterback or the running back or whatever. So there's a lot that goes into this, and that's why, you know, football becomes such a complicated game and people talk about it all the time with all the answers. Of course, we got all the answers. Next question.
Mark, your favorite question is the injury type things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With Jake in particular, how would he come out?
Yeah, you know, and I've always said that, you know, if a guy's out, you know, for a while, I'm gonna talk about him. So Jake is out for 6 to 8 weeks. You know, he's got a bone bruise or maybe a slight fracture in there. Excuse me. So we're going to miss him. Rocky Lombardi will be the punter. Maybe Tyler Hunt. But we'll go on. You know, Rocky is a great athlete, and he's punted before. He was our backup punter. William Prisup is a guy who's a walk-on from Florida, and he's been impressive at times. So we'll see how he works out. And, hey, somebody may walk out there fresh. Who knows? But Rocky has the ability. You know, he needs to wear the right shoe and take the brace off and, you know, work it a little bit. But he's an outstanding athlete, and I feel comfortable that with the quarterback back there, we'll have a guy back there that understands pressure.
And with LJ and David Beadle, they anything long-term with them? And was Tyreek Thompson an injury situation?
I don't think that I do not think that those are long-term issues with the two injuries with Beadle and anybody else. That, you know, I don't anticipate them to be long-term issues. As far as with Tyreek, no, we left him at home because he got into a situation, and I felt like it was warranted that we leave him at home. So he rejoined the team yesterday.
Mark, you had a couple new starters, Brandon Randall and Beasley. Can you talk about how they performed and also what it did to the defensive end rotation to be down a man and what that looked like on film?
Yeah, first of all, I thought Brandon Randall, you know, continues to get better, played a lot more plays. He's very instinctive at times, shows a great athletic ability. And then at other times, he needs to be a better pass rusher in one-on-one situations because he has that type of ability. But I thought he took a big step forward. I think he's going to continue to be a good player for us. He's a young player. And so with young players, you know, you see a big learning curve as they go. But I thought he played hard. He was athletic and made some plays out there. As far as our defensive ends, I thought Jack Camper played a lot, played well, Drew Beasley as well. You know, they only get 30 yards of running game production. So, you know, he played well against the run. You know, we need to continue to work the pass rush aspects of it. But, you know, they kept us off base when we brought pressure. You know, they either blocked pressure or got the ball out. They tested us deep quite often. Thought we played the deep ball very well, with the exception of probably two plays. One was an interference at the end of the game, and one was a great catch by the wide receiver for their only touchdown. So, but it's challenging.
All right, again, Mark D'Antonio, just a few of his comments during this morning's press conference at Spartan Stadium. A few takeaways, as you guys, you know, probably heard. I mean, Jake Hartberger is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Michigan State's starting punter, now Rocky Lombardi, the backup quarterback, who is also the backup punter, will be the guy punting for Michigan State football. Now, that's a big loss because Jake Hartbarger is pretty consistent. And, you know, Rocky Lombardi, haven't seen much of him in that role. We did see him punt on Saturday. But we'll see how this affects Michigan State, especially, I mean, field position is everything in football, right? So, Rocky Lombardi. Also, Tyreek Thompson. There was speculation that Tyreek Thompson was injured, and that's why he didn't make the trip to Arizona. That's why he didn't play. I didn't even know he didn't make the trip. But Mark D'Antonio addressed Tyreek and said that Tyreek had a personal issue and felt best to leave him at home. So, don't know what that personal issue is. Oh, we do. Oh, we do. Jack, we do know what that personal issue is. Because Mark D'Antonio didn't elaborate on it during the press conference this morning. So what exactly is up with Tyreek Thompson, Jack?
So he's been arraigned for a noise violation, I guess, and he's got a pre-trial coming up at the end of September. It was like a $200 bond.
Noise violation.
Yeah, and he didn't have the money for it, so I guess he's going to court at the end of the month, is what I heard from the state news earlier, but their page has been down today, so.
Interesting. So yeah. A noise violation.
Yeah, so here we go. So from the Freep, Michigan State, this is from Chris Solari, Michigan State's Tyreek Thompson out after noise violation charge.
Huh. I used to get noise violations all the time back in college. I'm not afraid to admit that. We used to throw bangers back at 12-13 in our apartment back in the day. So it happens. I don't think that's don't overreact to that. I don't think it noise. It's college. All right. So all right. There we have that. Thank you for that, Jack. Also, real quick, we have a minute left. Some breaking news when it comes to a pretty big name, formerly of the Detroit Red Wings organization.
Yeah, so Steve Yzerman, the former GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, has stepped into an advisory role with the Lightning. It was reported by Helene St. James about 15 minutes ago that he is going home to Detroit. He's kind of, last season, he's kept his home while GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he's kept his family there, but only he's been down in Tampa Bay. So in this advisory role for next season, as his contract plays out, he intends to stay home in Detroit.
Okay, thank you for that as well, Jack. So we had like three breaking stories here on Current Sports. And again, this Nassar and George Perlis story, just unreal, unreal. And there we go. I didn't get to the Serena Williams in U.S. Open, all right? I'll get to it tomorrow, folks. Just a loaded show. Talk mostly Lions, Mark D'Antonio. I mean, all right, we'll be back at it tomorrow. Have a great one and be easy, people.